Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
We're back on our Bondathon. Bondathon? Bondamarathon.
Bondstravaganza?
That's good.
Bondgasm?
It's not inaccurate.
No. And also, presumably, only one person gets the Bondgasm.
Yes.
Bond.
Yeah.
Well, yes. No one else does.
Or maybe not, because there is a particular line at the end of this, which we will get to.
Oh, that's right. Okay, yeah.
Because we are, of course, talking about The World Is Not Enough.
Number three in the Bond, Pierce Brosnan extravaganza.
Yes.
The wheels are coming off a little bit, I feel.
I feel like a lot for this one.
Mm-hmm.
It's quite dull.
It's really dull. That's the biggest problem with it. Yeah.
Look, we haven't got to
Die Another Day,
which obviously we will next week. I hope, you know, I guess. but that one is, it's a mile a minute and there's crazy gadgets and girls and dumb things happening.
Palace is made out of ice.
Yeah, but this one's just like, I don't know, it's someone who wants oil or whatever.
Yeah, it feels to me like, it feels like maybe like the most, it feels like one of the most boring of the Moore Bonds.
Yeah.
Like it's just, it goes on a bit and then you sort of slowly make your way to another location.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's got to surveil the location for a long time and have a few conversations.
Yes, that's right.
On and on.
On and on.
You know.
Yeah, look, this will also go on and on, but leave a like because, you know, we're in this too. We're in this with you.
That's right.
We're going to do this together.
Yeah, but we're the only ones who watched it, though. Nobody else watched it.
That being said, I think there are some high points.
Mm-hmm.
Not the opening, which is just him walking into a room and there's a minor confrontation and then he rappels out a window. Not even using a gadget. Not even using his belt, which he had in previous movies.
He's using the greatest gadget of all. A wounded man.
I guess.
He ties the rope to the guy and then leaps out the side. What I enjoyed about this is the assassin he's pursuing, she's on the run because she's like, oh no, I you can't protect me. There's a man that I fear even more than you kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
She's come into this with like a sniper rifle and a bunch of throwing knives and like a shotgun that shoots grenades and like a turret on the back of a boat.
She's presumably been working at that bank for months, maybe years.
She's like a world, just disappear lady. She's like a world-class assassin, you know?
Yeah, it's, the bad guy doesn't even show up till halfway through the movie. Who knows what he's doing?
Yeah, he doesn't show up till like the 48-minute mark or something like that. And also, that guy has no feeling in his body.
No.
So you know what? If you wanted to escape him, just walk behind him. He wouldn't know. Be able to feel the wind.
That's it. Would you want to talk about Mr. Bullet to the head? Mr. Bullet in his brain.
Yeah, Robert Carlyle.
I feel it's a very...
He's a favourite actor of yours, I assume.
Yeah,
like
he's great. Trainspotting, other things. Hamish Macbeth.
Mm-hmm, sure.
All of these things.
Plunkett and McLean.
Yeah, sure, absolutely. Know, all of these things. But he's kind of a knockoff Blofeld, like looks-wise.
Yeah,
And he's just, I like the idea that, you know, he doesn't feel pain, but they're also like, he doesn't feel pain. And every day as the bullet inches closer and closer to his death, he gets stronger. Okay.
Sure.
Look, it's no diamond face.
Yeah.
Which is obviously more ridiculous, but I can't buy that.
Mm.
Not even for a second.
They should have been like, every day the bullet inches closer to his brain and he loses feeling but he gains strength. And also he has bear traps for feet. You know, give him something like jaws.
Clank, clank, snap, snap.
Exactly.
Yeah, I get, yeah. I do like, though, that MI6 is infiltrated. I always enjoy that in the Bond films, the few times that it happens. Because it kind of turns everything on its head.
Because you love bureaucratic bungling, is what you like.
That's right, I do. And this is nothing but. But I like the idea that, you know, Bond and the people he work with, they're not even safe at home. I mean, sometimes it'll be something like Q will plug in a laptop or a USB drive that he definitely shouldn't.
Sure, that's right.
But I like the idea of, you know, the bomb and the lapel and it's, you know, tethered to the money and all of those things. I think that's quite nice. It's also a better opening than the actual opening. You know what I mean? It gets things going.
It's true. Yeah. Yeah. I feel maybe that's the thing. I guess you could even take away the opening sequence and replace it with a couple of lines of dialogue.
Yeah. I went to the bank and I got this money. I rappelled out the window using the greatest weapon of all, a man.
That's
now
right.
I'm here.
Exactly. Perfect.
Yeah. I guess.
But then I guess they have the budget for a chase.
Yeah, well, that's true.
And
yeah.
if, as tradition in Hollywood, if you don't use the budget for a chase, they just burn it all. So.
That's exactly right, yeah. What do you think of the superboat? When Q's like, don't steal my superboat,
first
it's not
of all,
ready.
First of all, he's using MI6 resources for his own personal gain because he's like, that's my retirement boat. He's got his staff are working on it.
Do you really think it's his retirement
he
boat?
He says it's his retirement boat.
Yeah, but is it really his retirement boat?
Yeah, he's really old and he doesn't care anymore. That's why he's just straight up saying, he's like, and I ate your lunch and I ate your lunch. You know?
Also, John Cleese, I hate you.
I know your initial was on that, was in that meal in the fridge, but I ate it anyway. I don't care. Right. Ah.
Yeah. Well, what I love about that boat chase, it really highlights what a prick James Bond is. He's just ruining everyone's day and ruining lunches, as you mentioned, just driving over things and through things. That boat somehow works on land and that's fine, I guess. There's a bit also, you know, where he goes underwater and it's the worst series of cuts to get him underwater. Uh-huh. That boat clearly can't do it. There's like a fade and then he's underwater adjusting the tie. Mm-hmm. Brosnan's idea. And then he's out of it. It's just not, you know.
Mm. Is this the one where they, he also splashes some parking inspectors. Does that happen in this one?
That's entirely possible.
All right, yeah.
Or it could be one of the ones where he's in Italy and they're like, Mamma mia, we're just trying to get around on our mopeds. Or it could be this one. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We're Mario Kart cosplayers. We're taking a holiday in Italy.
So, speaking of Desmond Llewellyn, though.
Yes, Q.
This is his last film.
That's right.
I didn't know that he died in a car accident at age 85. I thought he died of old age,
right? Yeah.
That's incredible to me that happened.
And it was street racing.
Wow.
Yeah.
He was at a Mario Kart tournament.
That's right.
This is my dream to race in. He really died. I shouldn't do this. Yeah. I mean, he'd be dead by now regardless, I'm sure. But what's with that last line? He's like, you know, like I always told you.
No, you haven't.
you've never taught him that in your life.
You've never said, he says to Bond, I've always taught you two things. Never let him see you bleed and also have an escape route. No, the only things he's ever said to Bond are, bring back my equipment in good condition.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or you're dead.
You're dead, mate.
You're bashed.
That's right.
Yeah.
I'm going to eat your lunch while you're gone.
Yes. I do feel like, though, always have an escape plan is kind of implied in the stuff that he gives him, including the... including the avalanche-proof jacket.
Yeah,
that
is
the best example of a so specific Bond gadget that you would never give it to him for any reason.
Right?
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because sometimes it's a watch with a laser, and there's a variety of situations where you would use that.
That's right.
But that jacket.
Here's the thing. I've been thinking about it, and I think Q's thought process is when Bond is going to a location...
Yeah.
Q figures out the worst, most irresponsible thing Bond could possibly do, and then he builds a gadget to counter it. So he goes, okay, well, Bond is going to be in the mountains. The worst thing, the dumbest thing a man could possibly do, the most egomaniacal thing a man could possibly do is cause an avalanche and expect to survive that avalanche. So Bond's going to do it, so I'll have to build him an avalanche-proof jacket, right?
Yeah, you're absolutely not wrong.
That maybe is what it is, yeah? Because otherwise, how would he, you know?
Yeah.
Why so specific?
That is not incorrect. They were obviously ramping up for Desmond Llewellyn and leaving this franchise with the introduction of John Cleese, who's like, Bond, you better bring this car back. Like, don't say that, because you know he's just going to cut it in half if you say something like that.
I'd be like, Bond, do whatever you want with this car.
Yeah.
I don't even need it.
I love you.
Just clear some space in my workshop. Thank God. Just do it.
Take my lunch.
You want to blow some other stuff up? Here you go. And Bond would be like, no,
not really, I guess. It does feel like the end of... an era having Desmond Llewellyn go.
Because,
you know, he was a staple of this franchise and it really shifts gear in the next movie and then again when it reboots with him not. So it does feel like the end of this 60s era Bond, you know?
Do you think it was Desmond Llewellyn being a diva? In past movies, they'd be like, hey, Desmond, in this scene, you've got to give Bond an invisible car. And he's like, no, I'm not. I will not.
Well, apparently
that's ridiculous and I will not be doing it. And they're like, look, technically Desmond's contract says he controls this franchise, so
he's the only surviving cast member. I think he was planning to be in the next one.
All right,
so you know, he probably would have been around for it.
I've just written here, a funny bit would have been if Q was doing the fake elevator exit. Like when he's like, always have an escape route, and then he's just slowly steps down. Yeah. And then Bond looks over the desk and he's like, Q, you're still there, man. You...
Maybe I'm on an escalator.
I'll just take the stairs down to my wine cellar. Up, but up, but up, but up.
I would have loved that. That would have been a fitting conclusion, I guess.
That's right, yeah.
Does it really matter?
No.
Nah, does it? Anyways, let's get on to the other villain of this movie, I guess. Spoiler alert for this. It came out in 99.
Oh, it's Electric King.
It's Electric King the whole time.
You know who the real villain is?
Bullet to the head man.
Well, I mean, yes, but also her father, the Electric King's father, for building that oil pipeline.
That's a really good point, yeah.
I mean, back in the day, I didn't even think about it, but I'm like, really? maybe build some solar panels, man. Some wind.
It was 99. Oil was hot stuff. People loved it. People were bathing in it. You remember?
No, I couldn't afford it.
Hot stuff.
Wow. Yeah. These days I could if I wanted to. It's like a cent a barrel.
Yeah, it really is.
I could set a whole bunch up in my backyard and shoot them doom style and have them blow up.
So this movie, though, I feel, if I hadn't known, does have you second-guessing about Elektra.
Yeah, right.
There's enough red herrings in there, and the performance is good enough where what is going on with this character? And I think it's a good reveal that, I guess the reason the other villain doesn't show up till halfway is because he's not really the main villain. She is.
True. Makes you think, doesn't it?
It does.
All the clues were there.
Yeah. Apparently, though, in early stages of production, the plan was that she was going to survive till the end, and then it would conclude with James Bond putting her in a hospital while she recovered from Stockholm Syndrome.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, but then this ending didn't test well, and they were like, nah, the audience was like, no, boo, shoot her.
Right.
Shoot her in cold blood.
Do a classic Bond thing, shoot her while she's sitting on a bed or something.
Yeah, man, that's straight up cold-blooded James Bond, which we talked about last week. Yeah, but that's the world we live in the world of James Bond. Look, I do want to talk about the torture machine as well and the other Bond woman who shows up in this franchise. But of course, this does have a video game. Should we video game?
Let's do it right now.
I'm sick of these video games. Let's do it. They just add more work is what I'm saying.
Oh, I see, right.
Also, if you're watching the extended audio thing, it's not in it. You got to
just imagine a video game.
Yeah.
You've seen video games before. If you've seen GoldenEye, it's much like GoldenEye. It's a bit different. Imagine GoldenEye, but a bit different.
A bit different. Imagine Mason talked about lining up barrels in his backyard and shooting at Doom style.
That's a visual reference, people.
Yeah. That's it. I want to talk about that torture machine.
Okay.
Bond torture is synonymous with Bond.
Oh,
right?
Yes.
Some of them are not good, like the drilling machine, which takes away his memories or something.
Oh, yes,
remember
sure.
That newer
Inspector
one?
Inspector or
yeah,
Skyfall?
Whatever.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's obviously the rope getting hit in the nuts. There's the laser. I think this is one of the best ones.
Oh, you think so?
Very simple. You feel like, you know, hearing the click of it and seeing it press into his spine.
That's
not
true.
Good. It feels horrible. Yeah. You know? Pierce Brosnan's doing a good job of being like, ooh, no good.
Ooh, that's smart, he says.
What I also like about this is he's injured at the start. And this is something that I guess Skyfall does. Uh-huh. And he's injured for the rest of it. So there is that kind of sense of like, he's not at his best for this movie.
They should have let 009 cover this. I mean, he'd been investigating ahead of time. I don't know who he or she is, but I reckon he should have. And then he goes to the doctor and he seduces her to get his way, even though he's clearly, you know, he's clearly not up for it. Or he's up for it.
He's always up for it.
But also, I feel like surely at this point, all the women of MI6 have, like, warned each other off this dude. Like, they've all got a story about this guy. And also, surely M would be like, oh, you've been cleared for duty.
Yeah.
Hey, doctor, did you get seduced for this? Oh, you did. Okay, you're all fired. All of you are fired. You all should have known better, every single one of you.
That's very true.
You, Bond, get out. We're putting 009 on this.
I've just written here, it's good to see the gladiator Vulcan.
I've written Vulcan is in this movie, and Vulcan is in all caps. So for people who don't know, you have the actual actor's name there?
I don't. I can bring it up.
Please do.
John Saru.
All right. So for people who don't know, Electric King's...
People know.
Yeah, of course. But I mean, let's assume you've hit your head in the last 10 minutes.
Yeah, and you didn't watch Australian Gladiators in 1996.
That's right. So John
Or The Ashes, the crossover with England.
Oh my God.
Let's not get into it.
Most Wolf. Of the world knows. Wolf Commando. John Saru is better known in Australia as a Vulcan.
Yes.
He was one of the gladiators on the Australian version of, I guess, American Gladiators.
Yes. Whitney was the referee.
That's right.
Who dares wins?
Yes, that's right.
I shouldn't put all this in. This isn't
No, good. Keep it all in. It's all good stuff. So, you know, if you're like, well, listen, I like the idea of this man being Electric King's bodyguard. He's certainly very sinister. But imagine if he was holding, like, a gigantic Q-tip and he was swinging it at somebody in, like protective headgear and a little unitard as they try and leap over an obstacle course and not fall into some water or something.
Yeah, absolutely.
Then you can find that probably
on
YouTube.
Oh, you definitely can. Yeah. Mason, we didn't mention this for GoldenEye, and I'm sure we got comments, but toot toot, here comes the Robbie Coltrane.
Very good, yes.
Recurring character.
That's right.
He's a great addition.
I think he is too. Yeah. It's a shame.
It's a shame he didn't shoot Bond when he had the chance. Why doesn't he?
I don't know.
It's so weird.
I mean, they've clearly got a pre-existing relationship.
Yeah, because he shot him in the knee.
Yeah, so why not a bit of quid pro quo, you know? But yeah, no, it's a shame that this is a character that did not survive, I think, even into the Daniel Craig era. I think of the characters we see in the Brosnan Bond series, I think M is a good addition to the Craig, and I think Robbie Coltrane would have been as well.
Yeah.
Alas.
Yeah. It was not to be. But he has a good ending. He's got a good death.
That's true.
Yeah. Denise Richards is in this. She was apparently attracted to the role of Dr. Christmas Jones, a name that nobody would ever have, as she found the part to be brainy, athletic, and had a depth of character, a change in direction from previous Bond girls.
That's what they always say, though.
Isn't it just? Now, this isn't like your classic Bond girls.
The producers always lie, and then they're like, this one isn't going to be like all the other Bond girls. Yeah. We're calling you a Bond woman.
That's right. She's in a different movie. She should be in Die Another Day.
Yeah.
Because I know she gets
or
a lot
Tomb Raider.
Yeah. Well, that's obvious homage, that outfit. But if you put her in the next one, nobody would have noticed.
No, that's
I know she gets a lot of flack for this. And look, she's not good in it and she doesn't fit. But it's not her fault. It's Denise Richards in this boring-ass Bond movie.
Right, exactly.
It doesn't go together.
Yeah. And she's in all the scenes where it's just Bond in like a Russian Department of Energy jumpsuit, just filling in forms, you know? That's not the kind of movie she should be in.
That's exactly right. So the ending of this, they get in a submarine.
Yes.
And what's disappointing about this is, and you don't always need to go this way, like a big Bond lair or a castle or inside a volcano, but it's just slippery men awkwardly climbing over poles in this awkward fist fight.
Sounds like a perfect movie for a lot of people. Don't kink shame people who want slippery men on poles. Come on.
Yeah, you're not wrong. I mean, but they're horizontal, aren't they? They should be vertical. Am I right, fellas? Or ladies? Women can like men too.
It's very true.
Yeah. But it's just not a good finale, really, is it?
No, not really.
They just climb into a submarine and, you know, you've seen it.
I've seen movies, yeah.
Yeah. Now, I wanted to ask you about this specific thing because I remember at the time you took somebody, like a friend, to see this movie and there was a particular line at the end of this movie.
She'd never seen a Bond movie before, I don't think.
And you'd seen the previous ones.
And I'm like,
right?
They're not bad. This is pretty solid. And and it ends with the line, maybe just edit it in.
Sure.
Yeah. And I just looked over to her and I went, I'm sorry. I don't...
Like movie, you wrote it.
This movie's bad. Yeah, that's the chance you take on a franchise, you know?
Yeah, it really is.
Yeah.
So this one, of course, because I like to check back every week to find out whether it ends with Bond lying on top of a woman.
Mm.
Yes.
Certainly does.
Yeah.
And this time in thermal imaging, if I remember correctly, yes.
Looks like a bit of a dead fish.
Yeah, it's not looks, doing,
I mean, there's only so much movement you can show in a PG-13 movie
that's
in
true,
1999.
Yeah.
Just quickly on budget before we final thoughts. Again, they managed to cover the $120 million with product placement for this movie. It did well. Like, it did okay, but having that boost of that amount of money, then it did better than well.
Perfect.
Good enough for another movie.
Oof, all right.
Yeah, we'll be back. Maybe 50,000 likes. I'm not kidding. People think I'm joking. I don't joke, Mason. I do serious movie commentaries.
Well, that's pretty obvious.
Is this a good one?
I don't know. I think maybe if... Here's the thing, James. If we weren't in a position where we were forced to watch it by the number of likes the previous video were given, maybe if I was watching it was a rainy day and I'm inside and it came on the TV, maybe you're like, I don't mind Pierce Brosnan. I don't mind Bond movies. I'll watch this Bond movie. But the fact that we're under the pump to watch it...
Yeah, sure.
...and make notes about it...
Yeah.
...upsetting.
Yeah.
Didn't like it. Kind of boring. Kind of a waste of my time.
So, of course, we will be back for Die Another Day.
Mm-hmm.
We're making our way through. Sorry, obviously, but that one, I guess, is nothing. I mean, it's entertaining. That's what I remember about it.
I hope
it is terrible. Yeah, we'll find out, won't we?
Yeah.
But of course, we also have a podcast called The Weekly Planet, don't we, Mason?
Yes.
And we talk movies, we talk comics, we talk TV shows.
All of those things have been a Bond thing.
So, definitely. It comes out every Monday morning. So if you want something to listen to in these times, this is use your times to listen to this one for good times. Don't you think?
Yeah, the best times.
Have I sold that really well then?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, cool. Should I leave this bit in where I'm really happy with how well that went?
Yes.
Good, excellent.
Be proud of yourself. You've done a good outro, you know, flaunt it, baby.
Also, of course, we run polls on Patreon to decide what and why we do these things. So.
Oh, is there one that says why we do these things?
Yeah, that's right.
They've got too much time on their hands.
For money.
They're nihilists for money.
Anyways, though, we'll be
back. They lost a series of bets that we don't know about yet.
Of course, we'll be back next week, so subscribe if you want to stick around for
they're
that.
They're narcissists. They're doing it for the likes.
We're doing it for the likes. Mm-hmm. But we'll see you next week and have a good time.
Grab that gem, you guys. We'll see you real soon.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
I mean, if you want. It's up to you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.